This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row in the Bigger Picture and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Parts of the walls of the Edge Gallery in Mort Kiara appear to be on fire. The colours on the canvases here are not warm hues, but rather hot, and leaves of different shapes and sizes are all aflame. And the person who is responsible for this figurative fire and heat in the art gallery is Penang-based artist, Associate Professor in Fine Art at University Science Malaysia, Fauzan Omar. Fauzan, we know that you're from Kelantan, but where is your hometown?
Pasir Mas. I was born in 1951. I'm an old man, really. Not yet old. I'm 67 and I was born in 1951 in Pasir Mas, Kelantan. So I brought up in a conservative family. And then out of a nine sibling, I'm the only one who loved art and then doing art my whole life.
Where did you get your technical training in art from?
First in UITM. I joined UITM in 1969 and then graduated in 1974. In fine art, diploma in fine art. So I pursued my master's degree in 1984 to Maryland Institute College of Art in Baltimore, USA.
The subject of your art is nature. What in your past has linked to nature?
I'm more interested into looking into the natural forces instead of depicting their surfaces or repeating of what you see. That's what there is in nature. You try to paint it back as exactly. I'm against it. So I'm looking into the other phenomena. I'm looking into the thunderstorm. I'm looking into the destruction, nature, and how it works in nature in terms of its natural forces. That's what excites me.
What about nature appeals to you? Is there something about your growing up in Kelantan that somehow has said, nature is important to me, Malaysian landscape is important, our flora and fauna?
Yeah, definitely. We are very rich with this natural heritage. Living in Kelantan, our connectivity, or our interrelated to certain things in nature. So I was taught during my younger day that always respect the tree. Even if you go to the jungle, you must ask for permissions. I don't know what permission, but I used to say, Atok, let me in first, say before entering the jungle. But in the jungle itself, there is interlayering or interconnected things between one another. It's a biodiversity, what it's called today. So it was there for a long time, but we look in the different form. So I find the rational, I find the objective of life in here. So nature is part and parcel of all of us. It's a system. If you want to paint people, then it's another story. I don't want to paint people. I want to paint my connections with nature and how nature brought me out and how do I respect them, how do they respect me.
In 2005, you also did an exhibition. I think probably it was your first solo rejuvenation. Yeah. And it was after about 10 years in Sarawak.
Yeah, 10 years in Sarawak. It's all about what I saw this happening during the Baku Dam. They are constructing Baku Dam at that time. And then what I was disappointed is that the land is still burning and then so people still moving. And then it's a big destruction. It's very bad. And haze was everywhere. Smoke was everywhere. Rejuvenation is about my... How could I say that? It's not a protest, but it's a kind of recording. So that people see. We will still look into the background of the painting, the rejuvenation. There's still fire burning behind that with the plant. The plant is still intact. It's still a virgin. And yet, you see, the background is flame, is approaching, and then fire is coming nearer and nearer, killing all this plant form.
But your foreground is so beautiful that we might not see the flames in the back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we always never see anything that's coming from the back. It's for sure about that. Rejuvenation really bring me back to nature. So I start thinking, but I need to work, okay? Now I need to come up, you know, to make it this kind of... Let people see it's a discourse. It's a kind of discourse and quest for discourse. The people to keep on talking, people to keep on seeing, and then you have to pressure them by looking, not by reading. Because when you read, you get into it, but by looking, you remember. So for me, it's like, okay, let me paint and paint and paint.
How do you think Malaysians respond to our natural environment? While you have expressed that, you know, you love the natural environment, do you think most Malaysians share that with you?
Malaysian has been, been away from art. They didn't go to the art gallery. Even they travel overseas also, they seldom visit any of the cultural center. And it takes some time to educate these people around. And even in our architecture also, not much has been placed in terms of connected to nature. But right now, thank God, in a way, that people start realizing there is a movement, the green movement is coming in. But I hope it's not artificial. I hope it's not superficial things. You know, a lot of superficial things that they put tree on the building, you know, they try to plant string and they put birds in here and there. That to me is superficial. But it's really like, you know, you have to do something like what Korean is doing right now. And cleaning the river, you know, create a kind of a park, amusement park with a theme of nature, where they create nature in there and bring nature back. Singapore is doing it right now. So we have to start thinking of a new way, not to follow Singapore, not to follow Korea. We have to look into what we have in here, our heritage. How do we work on it?
So as an artist, do you feel the responsibility to remind us that we have a natural environment that needs to be kept? Are you here to remind us or to prick our consciences? What is your role?
Definitely. If I have the power, if I have the say, I would put it 80% of this country to be safe and leave it naturally. Doing this, through this exhibition, there are multiple ways of looking at things. There can be like the purist way of looking at things, the conventional way of looking at things, the operational way of looking at things, and the associational way of looking at things. Through this exhibition and through all the writings, through all the books, I think I hope in future there will be a tendency to change toward change and then toward preservation of our nature, because we will never get it back to them if we destroy it now.
While we are talking, I'm sure you are aware that Gua Musang, we have our indigenous people that created roadblocks to stop logging. How do you feel? This is happening in Kelantan.
I feel very sad. I feel very sad about this thing. You see, I mean, people who are in charge of the state, I mean, it's so ignorant and so not sensitive enough towards nature. I do not know politically what is going on in there, but looking at this Orang Asli, the indigenous people fighting for their livelihood and fighting for their heritage to conserve the land, is it? Yeah, I mean, we have to do something about this. Our law itself have to prevent the state government from abusing it. And then mostly that what I read, they gazetted and de-gazetted the place. This is what another government came in, de-gazetted the thing, and then put another new gazette to a certain area. And then when change of government, everybody start changing it altogether. It's not good for the environment.
We are standing in front of Blazing Flame, and it's a pretty large work, measuring 5.5 feet by 5.5 feet. Very bright, but I'll let Fauzan tell us about it.
The Blazing Flame is about the excessive heat. It's about me feeling discomfort with this unpredictable weather conditions of we are facing today. What inspired me to produce this kind of work is to look into the melting surfaces and then looking into the dry leaf. Discomfort of the heat wave itself brought me to a kind of an understanding that how can I turn this heat into my benefit?
What is the medium of this work? It's very bright. It has lots of reds and orange and different shades of yellow. Very warm. Not warm, I would say it's very hot colours.
Yeah. I put it as a high intensity. High intensity is that I managed to produce a sheet of a dry liquid, or I would say a fluid liquid that I turn into a plastic sheet.
It's very shiny.
I have to dry up this fluid liquid and then bring that into the sheet form, then layer it on the top of the surface of painting. So you see the brightness, you see the transparency, you see another color in between them. And then due to the availability of other medium which is added in, like the gloss medium, it really enhanced the work to give some kind of, I can't say, a vibrancy.
There are leaves, very bright green leaves, and they do look like leaves, but they, as though they are real leaves that you have glued on to this painting.
It's artificial leaf. I cut it, I burn it, and then I paste it on it. This makes the whole thing more or less like in a situation when they get burned and when they got heat up. You know, everything seems to be crumpled. You know, they are no longer in their right form.
This is abstract and yet not abstract, because leaves do look like leaves, but they do not necessarily appear like this in nature.
It's a semi-representation between the real and the unreal. I don't want to make it real because to me it's too traditional. The unreal thing is that you are able to experiment freely and you have to give your best to find the surprise element in that work.
I was at the Edge Gallery in Mount Kiara speaking with artist Fauzan Omar, who is holding his 7th solo exhibition. This one is titled Bracing the Heat by Fauzan Omar. After the station identification, we'll talk about the works in this exhibition. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon, you're tuned to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Last week, when the works of artist and associate professor Fauzan Omar were barely up in the Edge Gallery, Mount Kiara, I went there to talk to him. In the first half of the interview, he shared on why our natural world, our native trees, shrubs, flowers, flora and fauna, features so dominant in his works. His 7th solo exhibition is called Bracing the Heat. I want to now talk about this exhibition. What do you think you are offering in your exhibition to the untrained eye? I am sure lots of collectors come to your exhibition, but there's also a group made up of most of us who ride the buses, get into taxis. We don't quite understand all this art. So what have you provided for us?
I looked at it this way, say, this exhibition give a glimpse of life in our environment today. So you have to make this work go to the people. Okay, the campaign can be not coming to the gallery, but the campaign can be in terms of a small poster, small card. You can transform this work into a postcard and then pass it over to the people on the street. They might realize it. They might know that something's not right, something's not right here and there, and then probably it might change. It's very difficult to really, really make people understand. Even my family is so. They're very concerned. They're very concerned, but they don't understand.
But for somebody who comes into the gallery to look at these works, for instance, coming right into this lobby area, you know, you see 30 works of flat, round objects painted in different colors. And yet the title of this exhibition is Bracing for the Heat. How do you expect the viewer to make this connection to these works?
Let's look at it this way. It's a very simple planet that we are living in today. So this planet is very fragile. And then things like pollution, things like the destructions of environment, and then things of the climate change, which is taking place today. Bracing the Heat is about the most uncomfortable things in your life. You are facing something which never been here before. Last time it was so comfortable. Last time you can work the whole day. But today, you only work for about 3 or 4 hours and you feel tired and you feel discomfort. The heat is so terrible. The intensity of the heat is like, I never experienced this before. So now, coming to look into the circle things, it reflects a kind of a spiral which is spinning every day. So our work is moving, we're pushing every day. So in that, you can see in terms of the image, some with a kind of blurring, a kind of hazy, a kind of intense colors coming out. So it reflects into the shapes or recording of what I perceive, something which is unimaginable.
So in other words, those 30 circles are...
Can be 30 days, 30 circles can be 30 days. You know, it can keep on going like every day for 360 days a year. You can have all the different circles with all the different temperature. Because what I'm doing here is recording the heat and make it dry and record it and bring it up and paste it up. So these are the invisible energy you're facing every day.
How do you go about putting this exhibition together? While I'm aware of the idea that's driving this, what's the process?
Now, during the experimentation process, you see, the liquid is being dried very fast because of the rising temperature. The drying process is very fast. Instead of half a day, it's about 1 or 2 hours. You see, it dry. So I look at it with positively that I can turn something that by using fluid color and to dry it up and make it into a plastic sheet. So this liquid sheet turn up to be my colors, turn up to be the heat which I've already recorded, and this is where I need to place it and overlap it so that it have the element of touching, the element of colliding, the elements of overlapping. So this is the experimental process which I look into it. I call it interrelationship of form.
When you are thinking about the ideas beyond your technical ways of executing, what goes through your mind?
Things which I'm not familiar, things which is, I never seen it before, things which is unimaginable, things which is I don't know whether I can control it. Other countries already face this problem. Are we waiting to happen at the same time? Do we have a system where we have rainwater harvesting? Do we have that system? Not yet. Might be we should introduce that system, rainwater harvesting. Do our house have the ventilation system, a proper ventilation system, so that it will not trap heat? Because heat itself changes our attitude, changes the way we act, and then we can also get angry very fast. So uncomfortable. The pattern of our working behavior is different right now. That's the reason why we see a lot of angry faces on the driving their vehicle. And probably, I don't know, because of something, the environment itself triggers us to be more tidak sabar.
I see that in your works through the colors. How do you go from the idea of here is global warming happening, here we have climate change? How do you translate that idea into what you depict on your canvases?
It's a process of recording. It's a process of reminding. And it's a process of also like, okay, this is how I feel. I'm suffering with it. And I can't tolerate it anymore. Would you like to see it? Would you want to share with me? So I want you to see the invisible forces. I want you to see the invisible energy in the heat itself. I want everybody to understand it. You see? That's why we feel so uncomfortable today. We feel distressed sometimes. These are the things that I would like to create. You know, situations whereby, okay, let's share. What do you think about it? And then let's discuss about it. It'll be an ongoing process to re-educate and then to be more sensitive towards this climate change and then to do our part. If I'm the only person, I can't do it. If I'm going to do it, I'm the only person to do it. Like what I'm talking just now about, rainwater harvesting. It's a good idea if we can have a tank so every house have their own system of collecting free water from nature itself. So that might be a good start.
When you mentioned about the heat and your painting reflects the heat that you feel, you mentioned also the medium that you are using when you see this paint or this plastic thing drying up and becoming something that you can use for your work. But for us who are not trained, we view your works, we see something shiny, but we don't know it's plastic. We don't know that it is done this way. But in the way you have created, you have, in a sense, manifested the consequences of climate change and global warming.
You can have a direct answer to it. You can dip it painting showing climate change. You can show the flame, you can show the heat, you can take photograph with that. And that's normal thing, sir. But through this process, I'm looking into a different kind of thing. I'm bracing, I'm welcoming all this heat to my benefit. You say, I can create a work of art through you, or through this heat, I can create another dimensions. I don't want to go to conventional things right now. Welcoming or serving the heat is about helping me to adapt and to adopt and then bring up something out of it.
You are also an associate professor at USM Penang teaching fine art. What is the relationship between the artist and the educator?
Educator have to bring up things rationally, logically, and then methodologically. So it's a different thing. Being an artist is you have a total freedom of doing something of your own. You don't care about whether people like or people don't like, to the extent, certain extent. But teaching is about, you know, interrelating in the sphere of knowledge into psychology, into philosophy, into aesthetic artistry, and many more, sociology. So it's a very tough thing to do. You have to relate whatever things that you said, and you have to give example. So teaching is about spreading the knowledge or imparting the importance of learning, importance of seeing new things, you know, logically. But being an artist, well, it's another dimension. You don't have to show your data. You don't have to produce anything, except it's more intuitive and more of your personal impressions. But conceptually, you must have a strong conviction in terms of what you are doing. I think that is the world of an artist. Artists have lots of surprises element, so it can be so many things coming out which scientists not able to do so.
Seems to me your subject matter about nature and about the degradation and the deterioration of nature in Malaysia is a subject that strikes me as ugly. But yet your paintings are very aesthetically pleasing. Will the message be hidden by the beauty? Does beauty then belie what's underneath it?
It is the aesthetic communications here. Aesthetic communications mean into the... It's very subjective. Isn't it? You look at... I look at pretty or beautiful doesn't mean that it's ugly. Or ugly doesn't mean that it's not beautiful. Ugly can be very, very beautiful in a way. I've been working on this. So because my landscape painting is not reflecting about the beauty of nature. It's not about beautiful flowers. You know, you've painted roses, you've painted daffodil. It is more about, okay, what nature give you. Birth, rebirth, death, decaying. These are the processes which I look into nature. So it's about the aesthetic communication. So the subject of, is it beauty? Is it pretty? Is it nice? Or is the other way around?
But the fact that they are aesthetically pleasing, do they somehow hide what you want to say?
I like the word aesthetically pleasing. I think aesthetically pleasing and aesthetically exciting. I think so. I think so that this is pleasing, exciting, and full of surprises. I put it surprise element.
But they don't hide what you want to say?
It's there. It can be there. It has a double meaning there. It can have a so dimension is very wide to be looked into, and then it's subject to confirmation by certain people. So some might not like it, but some might say, oh, you got the point. Like what you are saying, that there is a beauty in the ugliness. I share that one strongly. There is beauty in the ugliness. We people also... We doesn't look handsome. We are not handsome, yeah, but there's something pretty about us. Special about us, not pretty. Special about us.
One last question. When you create these works, do you create with an eye also to the question or to the answer, who will buy this work?
I'm not that concerned with who will buy the work. I'm more concerned of recording this work to become our national heritage in the future. Might be... When I'm gone, somebody will look it back and say, oh, if I wasn't been doing that so long ago. Like last time when I was in 1981, I have a show which nobody cares to look into it and nobody buy. But I still stick to it, you know. I still believe it strongly. And then that's why I'm here today. So I'm more or less, I know people know you have been reading about me, you have been looking about, which means to say or to show that somebody is interested in my work. And I think you are interested to know more about my work. I got one customer already. there will be many people who start noticing, you know.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bracing the Heat Pipe, artist Fauzan Omar continues through to September 15th at the Edge Gallery in Mount Kiara. Admission is free and gallery hours are 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. The gallery is closed on Sundays and public holidays. This is Front Row, The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.